Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello. Thank you for being with us today. We are talking today about learning from Indigenous peoples and gaining wisdom from things that have been their traditions for many years. And so a little bit of context, I have been studying these things on my own for some classes that I'm taking, and it has just been fascinating me and seeping into me, and I find myself wanting to learn more. And so a lot of what we're talking about today is kind of new processing. But just to kind of give you a sense of it, one of the things that I was so excited about was this power, this notion of how meaningful circles are. And so, for instance, they always gather, like maybe you have a campfire, you always gather in a circle, and that is intentional. You might think, well, yeah, because it's light and you wanted to gather, but it's deeper than that. There's this understanding and there's this belief that when we are in this circle, that everyone is included, that the circle can get wider if need be, it can get smaller. Smaller if need be, but we're all on this together. There's this power of cycle. And there is a contrast in our own world, like in our own faith traditions. We may gather in circles, but we may also gather in rows. And we see meaning in both of those. Whereas in an Indigenous culture, that notion of gathering in a row doesn't exist. And so I just thought I might open it up a little bit for us to chat a little bit today about the wisdoms that we can glean from Indigenous peoples.
Well, first of all, thank you for bringing up this topic, because I too have been really fascinated lately by Indigenous peoples and learning from them, but like you, feel like a novice, and where does one begin? So, and I appreciate that in the things that I've read, there's such simplicity to some of these concepts that we are presented with, but as you sit with them, it's like, that is really profound. And so even this idea of circle, I agree with you. I think in our traditional educational settings, there is the row and the kind of expert up front that's sort of spilling out their wisdom and expertise. And, you know, even in our church setting, for a number of years, we've gathered around a table. We call it church around the table, and there's circle tables. And there's something about decentralizing the power, all being together around a circle. It's just a very different feel and format. Or oftentimes in contemplative retreats, things like that, we talk about, it's sort of even named a sacred circle, and we're all gathering in a circle, that we're all equal. All of our voices matter. We can see each other. There's not this power dynamic. And so I love just even the simplicity of what you're naming today and how that affects even something like education or the ways that we're communicating to each other.
Yeah, I think when I was first introduced to something like a circle in a religious context, I was at a seminar or, you know, a gathering of people who were trying to learn about how to do spirituality in a different way. And this famous American speaker was there. And when I walked in, it was in a circle. And she was speaking up front from a circle. And she went into like why it's a circle instead of why we're in rows. And I really liked it because everybody was facing one another. And, you know, you had religious icons and crosses and stuff sort of as the central point, the focus point. And everybody was looking at that, and everybody was able to see one another. And it was such a different setting than what I was used to at the time. And so I really went into that experience thinking, wow, this is amazing. This is a lot different than what I've encountered before. And so, you know, we took the experience, and then I think we started with a half circle, you know, like how do you do this amazing thing, but not sort of knee jerk people that are used to certain things. And then we've developed into circles. But I think the idea that I'm drawn to is what element or component is at the center. Like you named gathering around a fire, and the fire is sort of the gathering thing that brings people together. I know that when people used to go to wells and draw water from the well, it was a circle, and there was this sustenance, this thing at the center that would bring people together to have community, But there was this life-giving thing in the center. And so I think as I've been reading books and talking about with others that I'm coming into contact with indigenous wisdom, the learnings that I am drawn to is what are the components that gather people together for this power of circle to happen?
Which is a really great question. And I think you're right. The fire does represent so many things, and maybe differently from one population to the next. Like the Greenland people in this one video I was watching were sharing, it gets dark here like all day for certain times of the year, but what we believe about the sun is that it reflects beauty. And so when we light these fires, it allows that beauty to continue to be reflected, which I just think, again, also a circle. It's not even a literal circle, but this notion of beauty being reflected, it's almost like this invisible understanding of a circle. I'm also like thinking of your decentralizing or this notion of everyone mattering. I think their stories really reflect this belief that everyone in the circle matters. Everybody's got a role, and they treat it with such respect. It's like, I am the keeper of the seeds, and these seeds will feed how many future generations, or I remove the brush, or I gather something, I do something, I contribute to life. And that notion of all these things working together and contributing to life becomes this really big theme. It's really awe-inspiring.
Yeah, and I also, as we're talking about sort of how we're arranging things, I'm also bringing to mind kind of cycles. I think, you know, when I think in terms of even, in Christianity, we talk about our discipleship or growing closer to God. And oftentimes it can be kind of this linear thing, like you do this discipline, and it's kind of a building upon versus more of a mosaic or a cycles that we go through. And that, you know, we learn lessons, we have these growths, and then it seems like, man, why am I doing this again? Why am I circling back to these same principles or ideas? Haven't I gotten this yet? And it's like, well, you're a different person that you are today than you were back then. And so of course we're going to revisit, just like, you know, it's winter right now. And of course it's going to, you know, it's silly to think that I can go swimming right now because the lake's frozen. And so there's going to be different things that I'm learning in the winter, and next winter it's the same lessons, but it's, you know, so I think even in our spiritual lives, we have these cycles that we work through that seems to be, I think, easier to kind of grasp onto that wisdom versus this, let's like, where are you going in this linear versus it just seems like we keep having these cycles in our lives over and over again.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even as, you know, I sit with different people, one of the things that's often said is, wow, I've come full circle, and almost this, why am I here again? And I can't believe that I'm in this place again. And I think the thing that we find challenging is in our destination or in our journey, we don't want to repeat things. We don't want things. We want to move past things that we've experienced in our past lives. We don't want to resurface or reface those things. I'm here again, and people recognize the need to embrace being here again. Okay. I realize I'm resistant to being here again, but what new thing do I need to learn? And I discovered that in my own life as I come full circle. You know, it's like, okay, well, maybe I need to learn this in a deeper way, just like you're saying, Christina. And so I think coming full circle or being in circle is just part of our life, how we continue to grow deeper into things, into our life, into the things that are important to us, or into wholeness, or into, you know, whatever it is that we need to grow into.
Yeah, I think that notion of seasons in and of themselves also have that circle effect. And I've even found myself thinking about, as one thing closes down, that sometimes I've thought of that, oh, that's so sad, that's coming to an end or whatever. But really, if we think about circles of life and how when one thing closes down, it like becomes the food for the next thing, right? It decomposes and it feeds whatever's next to come. So I think, Chris, you're on to something, right? You got a point. We come back around and we learn it in a deeper way, or it's more enriched this time. And that is a different feeling than, oh, so sometimes we used to laugh, this notion of lessons not learned will be repeated, but it was like drudgery, like, oh my gosh, I missed it, now I have to do it again, as opposed to like, whatever I learned before is coming with me, and it feeds this moment. There's more wisdom there than there was the last time. Like, we are farther along, even though it feels, it's interesting how it works.
And maybe you guys have thoughts on this, but the thing that I'm interested in is how do threshold and circle intersect? You know, like we get to these thresholds in life where we're in one place, but then we need to enter into another place. And I think a curiosity I have is how do you experience that in circle or maybe in community?
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, Chris, because, you know, recently I was with a group of people and we were reflecting on a passage from the Old Testament of the Bible, Ecclesiastes 3. And it's this Hebrew poem talking about God making everything beautiful in its time. And it sort of offers these, you know, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to tear down, a time to build up, and what would be seemingly these opposites, and sort of recognizing, like you're saying, that there are these sort of, there's continuums, right? But sort of the, this middle space of like, at one point, like there is a flipping going on of what you're talking about from one thing to the next, and then it flips again, right? Sort of a thing. So I guess for me, the threshold is, you know, sometimes it's not as obvious, like the threshold may take sort of a while to get to that point. And maybe other thresholds seem a little bit more immediate. So, you know, I think sometimes in our seasons, number one, we don't know the length of the seasons. The length is always going to change. We oftentimes can't determine in our own personal lives, but I think there's also like multiple seasons going on at one time. It's not like we're just have one season, like the weather is one season, but I think in our human lives, we're complex humans. And so I wonder if some of the crossing of the different seasons speaks to some of that, what you're mentioning.
And what does it look like for a circle to be in motion, right? It's very interesting to me. In the indigenous populations, they often talk about ways that we are connected in a vertical sense, like maybe through a lineage, and in a horizontal sense, like with the animals and the food and all the stuff that is also around us. And so it really is a wide swath. And you know, I can almost imagine this giant bubble going round and round. But we also, how do we know when the seasons change? I mean, we just, in a way, we feel it, right, as we talk about the weather. But what does the threshold look like when the seasons change? They seem to just roll into one another a little bit, which is interesting.
So I think another thing that comes to mind is one of my favorite Disney movies is probably The Lion King. And, you know, they have that famous song, it's the circle of life. And I've been reflecting on the circle of life, particularly as it relates to my food. You know, I becoming conscious whenever I partake of sustenance. Like something came to the end of its life to sustain me, to help me continue in life. And just the whole, you know, life and death part of this journey that we're all on, and becoming more aware of everything has a cycle, everything has a journey, and paying more attention to what, you know, I think I'm getting this from indigenous wisdom, is what came to the end of its life cycle so that I can continue my life. And then, you know, in what ways in the future do I need to come to the end of my life cycle? You know, whether it relates to things that I'm doing and empower the next generation, empower my kids. When do I need to stop doing things and empower them to do things? So I think that's another thing that comes up for me as we talk about circles.
I like that, because instead of the continual ascending, you're circling back around, right, to give to the next generation. And I think, gosh, that's such the wisdom that is all over the place with you when reading indigenous literature is all about that. So I appreciate you naming that, Chris.
Yeah. And we give food, right, to the next. In a way, we become food. And it is fascinating just to say this one guy from Greenland did talk about his role is to be a hunter, but he has a very strong ethic around, like, I don't kill to kill, right? And so they have a whole ritual that I don't quite understand based on what I heard, but it sounds to me like they actually speak to the animals, and the animals appear to talk within themselves, and all but one will leave. And as if the animal knows that this is what is needed and this is the way that I am serving that circle right now, which blows my mind, just to say, you know, and I've never witnessed it is the thing, but what an experience it would be to be able to witness it. And at least what can I take away from it in terms of offering respect and awe and care to my world around me? Well, thank you guys so much for this conversation. Hopefully we will get to continue to visit Indigenous wisdom in the future. And now is the time where we take a moment to talk about what we are into. So tell me, friends, what are we into?
Well, I am into my new space heater. So if you are listening to this in real time, we are in Wisconsin and we woke up today, I think it was negative 14. So the cold is real and I am podcasting from my basement. And Chris surprised me with this new space heater. And usually space heaters are kind of ugly and clunky. And I was like, oh, I don't want a space heater. But it's kind of this nice sleek. It looks like one of those old timey radiators from, I grew up in St. Louis and the old like kind of flats downtown would have these radiators. And so it is warming me. It is, I love it. And so I'm grateful and appreciative and into my new space heater.
Nice. Yes. Any extra heat we can have during this time is great. Well, you know, we are in the middle of winter and I'm around discussions of, oh my gosh, I can't wait for this to be over. I can't wait for this to be this, you know, to end. And a lot of people are sad about their current life state. And so I'm thinking, well, what is some happiness that I can have in my own life? And so I recently got a banjo. I've never played a banjo before, but I got a banjo about a month ago, and the banjo is my happy place. It puts me in a place to dance and on the inside and maybe sometimes on the outside. I've been playing it in the evenings, and so I've really been into the banjo because the banjo is very happy and has some happy tunes, and this probably will not come through on the recording well, but this is my current ditty that I am doing on the banjo. And that's all I have for you today.
I think it makes me happy. So you have succeeded. There is at least one more happier person in the world. And space heaters that look really cool are also amazing. So woohoo for both of them. One of the things that I am into that's making me happy right now is creating pretty spaces. So we had moved some of where we do some of our work down into a different space and have been working to make it beautiful. So in my current space, I've put up twinkly lights and played around with, you know, tablecloths that have sparkles in them. It fits me, is the reality. And I love creating aesthetic and beautiful space. So I am into that right now. Well, thank you so much for being with us. If there is a way in which you would like to engage with more resources, you are welcome to check out thecontemplativelife.net. You can also subscribe to our newsletter that comes out regularly right from the front page. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.